This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is right. We're usually on 6 o'clock at night till 9 o'clock. Bank Sunday. Jay Binkley rolls along with you this Sunday morning, talking live local sports right here in Kansas City. A bunch to get to. Ben Alpert producing the operation that he does on Sunday. Sunday's Bank and Ben. That's what it is on Sundays here at 610 Sports Radio. So we look forward to talking to you today. Tons of Chiefs draft stuff. The AAF, the Alliance of American Football, got started last night, and I thought in spectacular fashion. One thing we need is, and that's more football, and we got more football last night. We have the NFL draft coming up. I've been hard at work this morning looking at wide receivers in the 2019 draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me tell you this, the second round is loaded. Don't forget the Chiefs have 2 second-round picks. Could they go wide receiver? Could they look for more toys for Patrick Mahomes? If you go to 610sports.com, I've taken a look at some of the corners. I've taken a look at some of the safeties. I've taken a look at some of the tight ends. The wide receivers will be out later today. I'll start doing my mock drafts when there's time for mocking, and time for mocking is after the combine. So there will be 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. You get it. There's going to be a lot of .0s coming out as soon as the combine. I know some people have hit me up asking when my Chiefs mock drafts come out. They will come out after the combine. Before the combine, I take a look at the positions, then narrow it down and get to the actual Chiefs pick. The Royals, by the way, made a move yesterday. And once again, 610sports.com if you want to see it. Homer Bailey was signed by the Kansas City Royals. Homer Bailey was part of that Puig deal with the Dodgers, and was actually released that day, the same day that they traded him to the Dodgers. Homer Bailey went 1-14 last year with a 6.09 ERA. But once again, this is a Dayton Moore reclamation project with Homer Bailey. Whether he sees him as a starter, somebody that can be in the bullpen, he does have an opt-out with the Kansas City Royals. I believe it's May 25th where he can opt out. You see the Royals do these kind of moves where the player can opt out. But it is a guy that's had over 200 innings pitched in 2 years, but he has to go back to 2012 and 13. And by the way, in those two seasons, he threw 2 no-hitters, including the first no-hitter ever at PNC Park. So he had a no-hitter in back-to-back years in 12 and 13. The former 7th overall pick back in the 2004 draft spent his career with the Cincinnati Reds. He's got a spring training invite and a minor league contract with the Kansas City Royals. Not a lot to look at in that. It's just, once again, Dayton Moore, you know, kicking the tires, looking around, seeing what he can find. Don't forget, he's done reclamation projects before. Joe Blanton, Ryan Madsen, you name it. Find guys to come in here, produce for the Kansas City Royals, guys that still have a little bit left in the tank. But a rough year last year for Homer Bailey. No question about that. As we look at some other local news from yesterday, how about the Kansas State Wildcats? Kansas State Wildcats, the big win against Kansas this week. Stop shaking your head, Ben. A big win against Kansas in Manhattan. Now, you would think letdown because Baylor is a good team, but Baylor lost to Texas this week. Baylor was 6-2. Now they're 6-4 in conference, but you're playing at Baylor without two of their best players, no doubt. But it's still a win at Baylor, a late run for the Kansas State Wildcats. They win the game 70-63, which is impressive to me because you just came down off that emotional high beating the Kansas Jayhawks in Manhattan. Now, Tuesday night, they'll be at Texas. So, once again, Texas is a team that's coming off back-to-back wins over this before-mentioned Baylor and West Virginia this weekend. So, back-to-back wins for Texas. Kansas State goes there Tuesday. You can hear that game right here live on 610 Sports Radio. But a big game for them. Kamal Stokes, 20 points. Barry Brown added in 13, Dean Wade 12 points, but his typical good rebounding game as well, 7 rebounds. But that's impressive to me. Kansas State is now 4-1 on the road. And if you want somebody to step up, at this point you have to look at, if you're a Kansas fan, you have to step up and look at Kansas State now being a challenger. Now, they came out with the rankings yesterday, the top four seeds. They do it in basketball now, like football, where they took a look at all the four seeds in the different regions and just makes a guess. Iowa State was in it. Kansas was in it. Kansas State, who leads the Big 12 by two games in the loss column, wasn't even in it. So the disrespect is full force in Manhattan, Kansas. But regardless, that was Kansas State on a roll. Did want to mention that as they parlay that win against Kansas and go on the road. Last night, we saw the beginning of what I call fun. It's the Alliance of American Football. Yes, I am a total football geek. Yes, I will sit there and watch has-beens that used to play in the league. I'm sitting there watching San Antonio Commanders last night against the San Diego Fleet, coached by Mike Martz. This league has a bunch of NFL coaches in it. Mike Singletary's in it. Steve Spurrier's in it. Steve Spurrier, by the way, put up 40 points against the Atlanta Legends. He coaches down in Orlando. But the Atlanta Legends had Brad Childress just quit. Michael Vick was supposed to be their offensive coordinator. He walked away. So, of course, that team is going to struggle. Michael Vick looks like he's going to have a role in the league. But Trent Richardson, it's these type of guys that have, most of these guys have been on NFL rosters. The quality of football is, I would say, like watching preseason football in the NFL. It can be sloppy at times, but it's guys with a dream to get back in the league. And I'll say this, Bill Polian is kind of the commissioner of this league. You know, that NFL experience. You had Trent Green in the broadcast booth. You had Tiki Barber there. You had Kurt Warner there doing pregame stuff. CBS is really trying to push this out and make it a viable league. And I think last night it did have some buzz because it's sitting here on a main network, CBS. Now, this Alliance American Football with eight teams will typically, all these games will be on TV. TNT, Bleacher Report Live, NFL Network will have a game each and every day, including today. If you want to check this league out, Memphis at Birmingham today, 4 o'clock CBS Sports Network. Salt Lake at the Arizona Hotshots tonight on NFL Network at 7 o'clock. But it's worth your time. It's worth looking at. I think they have some innovations that the NFL could look at. Now, keep in mind, I'm really looking forward to the XFL that starts next year. I got to wait 1 year for the XFL to start. So, by the way, St. Louis will have a team in that. So you notice how they put a lot of emphasis in cities that lost football teams. But
this is the XFL.
I'm probably going to be more partial to the XFL than the Alliance American Football. But we'll see. And I will say this. The NFL has been looking for a developmental league to hitch their wagons to. That was when Bill Polian talked before the last night on the broadcast, the pregame. He was talking about the vision for this AAF in the 4 to 5 years to be where you can play. NFL teams would place their practice squad players on these teams, give some of the position coaches an opportunity to coach. It could be a training ground for the NFL. They do not have that affiliation with the NFL at this point. It's something that they want. The XFL, by the way, made big news this week. They hired Bob Stoops. So you're trying to get some big names involved in the XFL. But I like springtime football, not going to lie. What's cool about this American, the Alliance of American Football, no kickoffs or extra points. You got to go for two. Possessions begin at the own 25-yard line. No onside kicks. What they do is they put fourth and 12 from your own 28. But you must be down 17 points or more, trail with 5 minutes or left. So there's also a sky judge as well that corrects obvious and egregious errors. The overtime rule, one possession for each team from the opponent's 10-yard line. I think it does have some innovations to the Alliance of American Football. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to watch it only because I like football and I like spring football. Now, I'm not expecting greatness. Now, Logan Woodside was the quarterback of San Antonio, and I liked Logan Woodside. He was at Toledo, put up huge numbers. I can actually see the Logan Woodside with an NFL roster, you know, as a second or third stringer at that point. But it gives the guys opportunities to live out their dreams. So, yes, consider me a fan of the Alliance of American Football, like I will be the XFL as well. Plenty of Chiefs news. We're going to dive into a lot of Chiefs today, talking draft with Craig Stout at 11 o'clock. We'll kind of go through some of the positions I've been looking at in extreme value in the second round where the Chiefs are going to have some decisions to make. News did come out yesterday that I wasn't happy with. Matt House. I was excited about him. He's defensive coordinator at Kentucky. Kentucky finished sixth in the nation in scoring defense. Looked like he was going to be the linebacker coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, but it looks like Kentucky found a way to keep Matt House, which is disappointing to me because I was really, really excited, almost geeky excited about Matt House. And I know my guest at 11 o'clock was very excited about him as well. He did a top five defensive coordinator list for the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt House was actually listed on there. Obviously didn't get it, but the Chiefs did hire, reportedly, because the Chiefs haven't done any of this officially yet. So we'll use the word reportedly as well. I had to change my story on 610sports.com that Matt House is not coming. But Matt Daly, who's the defensive line coach for the Patriots, dude has three rings. Now, it looks like Brendan Daly, per the Boston Globe, will be the Chiefs' defensive line coach, which is big news. His wife's from Kansas City, so there's that tie. He was with Spags in St. Louis from 09 to 11. This is big. You can't beat him. You hire them. You can't beat the Patriots. You find out what they do and what they do well. So if Matt Daly is, or Brendan Daly, not Matt Daly, I don't want to say Matt Daly, Brendan Daly, if he's defensive line coach, this is big news. We'll talk to Craig Stout about Brendan Daly as well. So the Chiefs, I like this. You steal from the Patriots. Why not? And I know we've done that before. I know we've got Scott Pioli here, and you guys weren't wild about that. So you got to be careful sometimes because is it Belichick or is it the assistants? Oftentimes it does look like it can be Bill Belichick. 913-576-7610 is your phone number. Hope you're having fun on this icy morning that's going to be, I'm not a meteorologist, but I play one on the radio. Looks like about 38 to 40 degrees today. So hopefully a lot of your ice will melt before the next system comes in. They're already talking like two more storm systems arriving. March? You can't get here fast enough. We're almost to mid-February. March, we just got a couple more weeks because in March we got a little bit of snow here and there. If we just cross our fingers, we can get through this winter and we'll get to some spring baseball. By the way, the Royals pitchers and catchers report next week. Our insider, Cody Tapp, Royals insider, will be there starting on Monday. Let's go to Wisconsin and talk to Tom. What's up, Tom?
Well, a few weeks ago, I saw that this is the third schedule, the Chiefs' new schedule for 2019. This is the third year in a row during the regular season that we play the Patriots. I got no problem with that, but all three games are played in Gillette Stadium.
Yep.
3 years in a row. Now, how the hell does the NFL justify that?
Well, a lot of times, you know, people in Buffalo would be saying, you know, why are the Bills always playing in Kansas City? It's how the schedule works out, where you finish. The Chiefs were the number one seed. That's why they don't have that home game. It's a formula that they use. Where you play one division in the AFC. You play another division in the NFC. But the Chiefs were the number one seed. You see what I'm saying? So that's why.
Well, I understand that.
That's why it's a formula they use. It's just a formula that they use. It sucks,
man. But weren't the last 2 years? The last 2 years, weren't the Patriots the number one seed?
They were, but it's how the formula worked out. It's how the formula worked out that the Chiefs had to go there.
I tell you what, you know, if
it's the NFL, it's conspiracy, man.
Well, if I never believed before that Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones run the NFL, I do believe it now.
Well, there you go. It sucks, but you know what, though? Hopefully, Tom, that game is in week one. Give Andy Reid that full offseason to prepare like he did a couple years ago when the Chiefs went out there and kicked their ass.
Yeah, well, I hope that happens. I really do. But the Patriots always have, they talk about the big advantage they have at Gillette.
They always do. They always do.
I hope we go up there and just kick their ass.
I'm with you, Tom. Let's kick their ass. Thank you, Tom. Uh-huh. Good stuff there. As I mentioned, the Royals, pitchers and catchers, report the 13th. Position players, the 17th. First full workout for the Royals, February 18th. We're there, man. We are there for a full list of the spring training games, 610sports.com. We'll have about 20 spring training games for your listening pleasure. But as I mentioned, plenty of Chiefs today, and we're going to talk some Royals as well. the Pecota rankings came out. And I know it's always a big talking point. What do they think of the Royals? Last year, they thought they weren't going to be very good. Well, they happen to be right. In previous years, they thought they weren't going to be very good. They win the World Series. What does Pecota think about the Royals this year? Hint, they like them. Talk about that next.
Big Sunday.
Man, I can't wait for the NFL draft. This AAF, the Alliance of American Football, has me jonesing, man. I was sitting there, pizza, beer. I had football on a Saturday night. That is not a bad thing. That is a good thing. It inspired me to start a look at the wide receivers in the 2019 NFL draft. It's weird the things that inspire you, but it inspired me. I've been inspired. I've been going mock draft crazy. I've been talking to the NFL draft almost every night on my show at night, looking very forward to that. But also, I love Major League Baseball. In particular, I love the Kansas City Royals. The Pecota rankings are always interesting. Baseball Prospectus puts them out. Now, last year, they had the Pecota rankings, had the Royals at 66 and 96. Pretty close. The Royals were actually a 100-loss team last year, so Pecota was on the money with that. This year, they're giving the Royals some more respect. Matter of fact, they were 71 and 91 when I put the story up at 610sports.com, but they've elevated them to 72 and 90, which they will do as free agents end up signing with places. So they have the Royals in third place. They still have Cleveland 97 and 65. I'm not so sure about that. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. Minnesota Twins at 81 and 81. The White Sox, they have at 71 and 91. The Tigers bringing up the rear at 67 and 95. Chicago White Sox, to me, are a sleeping giant, although Michael Kopech, the big-time prospect, went down last year with what Tommy John didn't he have at the end of the year. I know they brought him up. They are loaded with talent. All the trades the White Sox did, their farm systems is one of the best in baseball. And they're a sleeping giant, in my opinion. As this division goes forward, I do believe. I mean, they want to be players in free agency. And I feel that they are about ready to make that jump, even though Kopech goes down with Tommy John's surgery. But they've accumulated some great talent, some great minor league talent. And I think the White Sox are actually going to be the team on the rise, like the Royals. And I do believe there will be some battles between the Royals and White Sox, not this year, but eventually. Cleveland eventually will come back to earth as their window was open to win, and they just couldn't quite get the job done. Now they have the Yankees at 95 wins, the Red Sox at 89. Tampa Bay they like as well. They liked that finish with Tampa last year. They have them going 86 and 76. In the National League, the top they have is the Dodgers, 94 and 68. But one thing about the Pecota rankings is they will also estimate individual players. Now, Salvador Perez, they have averaged 260 with 24 home runs, 77 ribs. I disagree. I think this is the year Sal Perez. Last year, he had an opportunity to be the first player in Major League Baseball to elevate their home run totals each and every year. And he tied last year's high watermark. Salvador Perez is a 30-home run guy. If he doesn't miss a month carrying luggage before the season started, he's a 30-home run guy. I have no doubt in my mind. Sal Perez is getting to that prime, that power prime, where he's a 30-home run hitter. Now, Ryan O'Hearn, they don't like his average very well, 216. But they have him with 19 home runs. Could be about right. With Whit Merrifield, they could see hitting 278. But the one thing with him is you always have to look at with the home runs. They have him with 15, had 12 last year, 19 the year before that. Now, Adalberto Mondesi, they see as a 244 hitter with 18 home runs. I disagree with that vehemently. I think Adalberto Mondesi is a rising superstar with the Kansas City Royals. He played 75 games. He played less than half the games of 162 schedule and had 14 home runs. Not only that, he averaged the furthest home run distance of any Kansas City Royal. No. He will be a guy that hits, I'm going to say, 25 home runs this year. I think he's easily got 30 home run potential, and I'm not even joking about that. I'm not even joking about the fact that I think Adalberto Mondesi at some point will put up that kind of production for the Kansas City Royals. Ned Yost said last year he could be a 60 to 70 home run guy. And I 100% agree with that. I think that there's an opportunity next year. Whit Merrifield's led the American League in stolen bases for the last 2 years. Last year, he led all of Major League Baseball. Only the third guy since World War II with Ichiro and D. Gordon to lead Major League Baseball in hits and stolen bases. Kind of one of the hidden things that actually happened with this Royals team that a lot of you guys tuned out on second half of the season, which I felt was a big mistake. They played good baseball. They played really good baseball. 41 games under 500 did not meet their expectations before the All-Star break. 5 games under 500 after the All-Star break, but the infusion of young talent. I mean, it was Omaha Storm Chasers all over the clubhouse. They all knew each other. They all had that bond because they'd all played with each other. Adalberto Mondesi, to me, will be a guy that's 25 to 30 home runs, 60-plus stolen bases. And that's not an exaggeration. Last year, he finished fourth in the American League in stolen bases. Again, he played 75 games. He and Witt push each other. The Royals have this push to get to 200 stolen bases. And I know Sho and Vern would like to see the Royals get to 200 stolen bases as well, which they will. They've added Billy Hamilton into the equation. They've got a great 4x100 team for the Royals. Billy Hamilton has finished second in the National League in stolen bases every year since 2014, twice finishing just one stolen base behind D. Gordon. And he's had to deal with injuries towards the end of the season. Terrence Gore brought in to be a pinch runner. Those teams are going to be fast. They're going to put the ball out there. They're also going to have some mashers as well. Perez is going to be a masher. Mondesi is going to be a masher. O'Hearn, if he gets the playing time, he's got to get better at the first base and not the errors. Hunter Dozier will probably be 15 to 20 home run guy himself. But they will have some power. They'll have some speed. The power will be middle of the road in Major League Baseball, if not bottom third. But they will lead Major League Baseball in stolen bases. But I'm telling you, a guy like Adalberto Mondesi is what I call worth the money, worth paying for a ticket, because he does something every night. He does something, either a stolen base, a home run. I'm not talking, you know, 398 feet. I'm talking 434-foot shot. What do you have, a 9 from one side of the plate last year, the right side of the plate, and he had 5 from the left-hand side of the plate. This guy is a switch hitter. He's a special talent. The fact that he can bat from both sides of the plate, the fact that he can steal on command, and he's only getting better. He's stealing on basic instincts, natural instincts, but he's doing a lot more film watching. And you name, by the way, I got that backwards. 9 is a left-handed hitter. 5 is a right-handed hitter. But I talked to somebody in the organization. This guy could lead off, hit second, hit third. He's got the power. He could even hit 4. But last year, hit 276, 14 home runs, 37 ribs, and we're talking about a guy with 32 stolen bases in just 75 games. He's getting better at the shortstop position. As a matter of fact, Ned had been playing him at second and short, and I had asked him at one point, because once he played 5 straight games at shortstop, I said, well, he goes, no, I'm still going to move him around. Then it became 15 games. He said, no, I'm not moving him around anymore. He's staying at shortstop. But he'd give him rest. And then towards August, Adalberto Mondesi went to Ned Yost and said, I don't want days off. So he started to play every day. He started going to the training room. I know that sounds weird, but it's kind of like a unmacho thing to do in Major League Baseball is go to the training room, which is ridiculous. He started doing it. He needs to look at Escobar and see that Escobar could play every day. That's the kind of stuff you want from the 23-year-old Adalberto Mondesi. Speaking of baseball, I've mentioned some changes. There is some changes coming your way, and one change is not coming, and I think it's completely ridiculous. We discuss that next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back. Major League Baseball with some wacky, wacky rules. I reached out to Royals pitcher Kevin McCarthy to see his opinion on some of these rules, and let's just face it, he wasn't a big fan of them. Jeff Passan had put out something earlier this week that they're looking at a single trade deadline before the All-Star break, which makes sense because now the All-Star break, then you have non-waiver, then you have the waiver trade deadline. It's crazy. A 20-second pitch clock, which is something that I think would be implemented as soon as 2019. Expansion of rosters to 26 men. I think the union would want that. I agree with that. 25-man roster now. Why not go to 26? Doesn't cost you or me any money. Draft advantages for winning teams and penalties for losing teams. I like this. You tank, you lose. We never give the winning teams advantages in the draft. We just put them at the very end of it. Why not give a little reward for someone who actually wins it? I mean, I would love it for the Chiefs. They went to the playoffs, went to the AFC title game, but they're drafted 29th. You know, I wish the NFL would look at something like this. A study to lower the mound. Bob Gibson in 1968 had a 1.12 ERA. They lowered the mound from 15 inches to 10 inches. It was the year of the pitcher in 1968. They had kept the mound the same since like 1903, finally made changes in 1968. And the other one, the big one, a three-pitcher minimum. I asked Kevin McCarthy his thoughts on that, and he sent me back a Danny DeVito shaking his head. And then I sent him a question. Baseball also want a rule for three-hitter minimum per pitcher. This would mean specialization of pitchers. When you have the lefty specialist come in for one hitter, then they make a pitching change. Oh, no. What they want is three. Union will never go for this. Pitchers will never go for this. Also, it's a safety issue. If you have a pitcher that was used for three outs the night before, or maybe four outs, but you want him to come in for one pitcher, you can't do that anymore. They got to face three hitters. It's a joke. It's a joke. What if he's just not very good? And the first two hitters get a home run on him and a double. And then you're sitting here going, wait a minute, competitive advantage. I should have been able to use a different pitcher, but I wasn't. Stop, Rob Manfred. Stop. You made a record $10 billion last year. The game doesn't need that much changing. I did find this funny as well. We know the opener has become a big thing in Major League Baseball that people scoff at. That's the opener. The pitcher, a relief pitcher like Sergio Romero that started for the Rays last year. The Rays would use a litany of relief pitchers unless Blake Snell was pitching and let him pitch the whole game. But they used the opener. And at first it was scoffed at. Guys like Brian Kenny that are analytics guys from MLB Network loved it. To be honest with you, I'm kind of an old school guy, but I understood the merit in it. I understood the value in it. Now, I talked to a bunch of Royals pitchers in that clubhouse. A lot of the old school ones, not a big fan of it. Not a big fan of it at all. Matter of fact, I asked Ned Yost once Kevin Cash was going to do this with the Rays. It was a Sunday before a game in his office. That's where he has his chats, not in the dugout in his office. A little more inviting, kind of like a Sunday chat. And I asked him about the opener. He says, oh, you know, it's creative. Kevin Cash trying to do what he can do. Hey, the Rays, with a low payroll and nobody understands, they found a way to be a pretty good baseball team using this philosophy. Oh, then the Twins started using it. So I asked Ned, after he played the Rays, I said, now you've seen the opener, what do you think of it? No comment. He didn't really want to go into it. Then towards the end of the year, the Twins started doing it. I once again went to Ned, and I said, Ned, is this a trend now in Major League Baseball? Ned's an old school guy. I don't know if he's real wild about the opener. It is a trend because in the postseason, we saw it a lot. The Brewers were doing it. The Cubs were doing it. Well, there's one team that wants to do it, but one guy says, hell no. So the Giants new president of baseball operation, Farhin Zaidi, told reporters in December he could embrace an opener strategy. So again, this opener is going to be, a lot of teams are going to use this until Manfred squashes it. Again, sometimes we've even seen a starting pitcher like Milwaukee for one hitter to begin a game that would be squashed if Manfred had his way. And so then Bumgarner, Mad Bum, Mr. Dead Serious, and I respect this guy's work. This guy's an intimidating presence. I love that. Matter of fact, he single-handedly beat the Royals in the 2014 World Series. He shot Bruce Bochy, the manager, a quick text, and it was very succinct. If you use an opener in my game, I'm walking right out of the ballpark. So when Zaidi makes these comments, Bumgarner texts Bochy, says, don't even think about doing this with me. I'm gone. Come on, Mad Bum. Mad Bum was pretty good last year, 6-7 with a 3.26. Mad Bum is probably not a guy to use an opener with. Some guys struggle. Like Cueto, they struggled in the first inning where something like that might make sense for him. But I love the fact that Bumgarner, opponents only hit 193 off him as well. So do not use an opener for Mad Bum because he'll throw a fit and fight somebody. The no universal DH, this came out on Friday afternoon. The universal DH is one of these rule changes that they thought about for the National League, which makes complete sense. One thing I hate is watching Royals pitchers bat in the National League. Yeah, it's fun when they get a hit, but it's kind of like almost like sarcastic fun. When Phil Meyer got a hit, it's kind of like, okay. But Tanaka's what pulled his hamstring twice running the first base with the Yankees. Jeremy Guthrie used to scare the hell out of me when he was pitching and sliding into a bag. We've seen pitchers get hurt doing this if they're not used to doing this and being a hitter. And last year was the lowest OPS for pitchers in like 25 years. But Rob Manfred says it didn't look like the universal DH until 2022. Now, he's not going to have a problem passing this because the union will love this. It's another job. It's another job where guys like Albert Pujols don't have to retire. They could end up with the National League team because right now, these aging players only have half the league to go play for, and that's the American League, where they could be in the National League. And some pitchers like hitting, but a lot of pitchers probably embrace it, just concentrating on pitching and not worrying about the hitting. So it looks like they're going to delay that. MLB is also trying to purchase 14 of those regional sports networks of Fox. Remember when that whole merger went down with Fox, 21st Century Fox? They had to sell their 14 RSNs, which does include Fox Sports Midwest, which is still trying to bid on it. When they sold to Disney, Major League Baseball could resell the right to streaming services or cable providers. So Major League Baseball trying to go out and purchase these 14 RSNs. But these rule changes are ridiculous. The three batter minimum for pitchers, I don't see how that's ever going to pass or fly. Now, Manfred will get his rule on the pitch clock to try to speed up games. But as I've always said, I've never heard somebody complain leaving Kauffman Stadium, which I'm at a lot, that the game lasted too long. Because a lot of them will drive from Omaha, Wichita, Tulsa, Columbia, you name it. Spend the money on tickets. They just want to go to the ballpark and have a fun time. I don't think they're concerned if it's 3 hours and 5 minutes, 3 hours and 10 minutes, or 2 hours and 45 minutes where you feel gypped that, hey, I spent all this money on food and beer and you're trying to shorten my game. You're trying to shorten my experience. But that's enough of baseball. On the football, Brett Veach made some interesting comments, and I know one of the things going around the city has been the thought of Kareem Hunt coming back to the Kansas City Chiefs. People are talking about this. No matter where I went this weekend, that was brought up to me several times. I know it's still on your mind. Veach had a few comments about it at his press conference late last week on Thursday. I'm bringing you that. Then we'll talk to Craig Stout, Arrowhead Pride at 11. We talk Chiefs next.
Big Sunday.
Brett Veach made some comments this week. One of the things that's been on the burner, the back burner, Kareem Hunt. Remember, Matt Nagy reportedly reached out and talked to Kareem Hunt. And Bears receivers, his teammates, would welcome Kareem Hunt. I think he gets back into the league. He's too good not to. If he shows attrition for what he's done, I could see Kareem Hunt back in this league without a question at all. I don't even think it's going to be a question if he plays again. I think the question will be when. Brett Veach was asked a question, would you bring back Kareem Hunt?
Look, with Kareem, I think right now, I think as an organization, in regards to Kareem, our whole thing is, you know, look, this deal with him and releasing him just happened a few months ago, and I think that's probably him playing for the Chiefs is on the back burner. You know, our focus and our, you know, hopes with Kareem is that he just is able to take the steps necessary to get his life in order and to do the right things. And, you know, I think, again, when you talk about Kareem, I think our focus on Kareem is making sure that you know, he's getting the help he needs and he gets his life straight first. And, you know, everything else after that, you know, is not as important. Just making sure that, you know, he and his family are in a good place and they're working to get better every day.
So the Chiefs just didn't release Kareem Hunt and be like, we're done with you, wiping your hands clean with you. They're still, you know, checking up on the guy and making sure he's doing the right things. Again, had he been more forthright, I think he'd still be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they would have gotten him help early if he would have just addressed this thing head on. When you weren't forthright with the owner of the team, Clark Hunt, you get released. And that's simply what's happened. But we've seen the Chiefs give second chances to others on this team. There was a follow-up question to Brett Veach, which I find is very interesting. If he does go through the things, if he gets the counseling, if he does the right things, would the Chiefs take Kareem Hunt back at that point? Brett Veach is saying he needs to do the right things, you know, be the better person, all this. Now, if he does those things, will you take him back? So he's pressed further on this question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever like to speak in definitive terms on anybody. I think that, again, this is, you know, talking about something that was just 2 months ago. So, I mean, there's always scenarios down the line and guys that have done everything asked of them through the league and through all these, you know, steps of rehabilitation, you know, that sort of thing. But, again, that's something that hasn't been discussed here or something that we're not thinking about when you know, we're in touch with Kareem, which we have been in regards to our guys talking to his representation and our coaches reaching out to Kareem. It is solely about just Kareem making sure that, you know, he has his life on track and football and Kareem is the first thing from our mind right now.
How have those updates been? Is he doing all right?
Yeah, they've been going good. And, you know, he's in the process of taking the steps and doing the things he needs to do. And, again, this is a long-term deal here. So, you know, it's only been a few months, but, you know, all the interaction we've had is that he started that process. Again, he has a long way to go. But, you know, we just hope that, you know, he takes those steps needed. And whatever we can do from a personal standpoint, we want him to know that we'll always be there for him.
So he's basically saying we'll do everything we can for him. We'll be there for Kareem Hunt. He's going through the proper procedures to get back into the league. I'm on board with this. I'm 100% on board with giving Kareem Hunt another chance. And I know that's, I don't know. I would say popular or unpopular. I need to check out the 610 Sports KC poll. Because when I left off on Friday night, when this question was posed on the Twitter account at 610 Sports KC, 70% of you said they'd welcome back Kareem Hunt. Now, I talk about this, and I will get negative reaction from people on Twitter, which is what Twitter's for, to shoot back negative things on you. And I get it. I mean, I would praise Tyreek Hill for making a great play the last couple of years, and it would be met with a bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with Kareem Hunt on the field. And I get it. There were some people that were better, but I also saw 70,000 people cheer for Kareem Hunt or Tyreek Hill. Now, I was for the Tyreek Hill signing. I believe in second chances. I know a lot of times people don't, and I don't know why, when probably a lot of people themselves have been given second chances, whether it's at your work.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody does make mistakes. Whether it's been a relationship you've been in and you screwed up and you found a way to resurrect it, maybe you didn't. But a lot of times when we judge second chances, maybe you've been given one. I know there's people who have gone to jail, made mistakes, but have gotten out and then speak to prisoners about the mistakes they made, turn their life around. I mean, the one thing in life is we can't give up on people. We have to understand that people deep down can change and will change. Tyreek Hill has shown the ability to change. He's even engaged to the gal that he had a problem with, raising the kid. Tyreek Hill's been nothing but exemplary, but a lot of people, you weren't even willing to give Tyreek Hill a chance. You were ready to kick him to the curb. You were mad as hell that the Chiefs drafted him in the fifth round. But he turned his life around. Isn't that kind of what you want? Isn't that what you want to see from players, to be able to do that? Or do you want somebody in society that doesn't have that opportunity that goes the bad direction? because no one believes in them, so they go the bad direction, not the good direction. And I've always said the NFL gives you the best opportunity to succeed. They've got the resources that a lot of companies in this country don't have to give their employees. They'll send you off to counseling or whatever. They don't care about you. They'll fire you or whatever. You're replaceable. The thing about Kareem Hunt is he's not that easily replaceable, even though it looked like as they cut the NFL's leading rusher. But he's got value, and he's got tremendous value to an NFL team because of his age. He's so young. Little wear and tear in the NFL. Had a lot of wear and tear in college at Toledo. The poll is final now. 6,109 votes on Twitter at 610 Sports KC. The question was, would you be all right with the Chiefs re-signing Kareem Hunt? 70% said yes. 30% said no. Here's the question, though. If he did turn his life around and became Tyreek Hill, would you like that? We give guys opportunities in other sports that have maybe stepped out, got a PED suspension or DUI, and you say, you know what, that isn't that person. They had a bad night. They had a bad night, and they were unlucky. I mean, how many times have you driven when you probably shouldn't have driven? How many times have you sped when you probably shouldn't have sped? You just didn't get caught. He got caught on video camera. Now, that might be a good thing because he can show that he can change his life around. But having the resources the NFL can provide, which is tremendous, the kind of help they can give people. But two, talking to other guys in the locker room as leaders. Like, I do believe Tyreek Hill having Eric Berry around here was good for him. Having a Justin Houston, good for him. Even Alex Smith, good for him. I think Patrick Mahomes can be good for anybody because he's shown that ability already at his young age to be a leader. So not only do you have the counseling you can get, but you've also got guys that have been in the league, made mistakes themselves, that can get you on the right way. We all got that person. When you make a mistake, who's the person you often look at? You look in your Rolodex for your phone, somebody that may have made a similar mistake to you. Because the perfect person is not the person to talk to. The person that's made mistakes, that's fixed their life around, is the person for you to go talk to.
Yeah, and Tyreek's a great comparison to put things in perspective.
I'm just to the point. Now, I'm not third and fourth chance guy, but I do believe in second chances. Look at Michael Vick. He did the crime. He paid the time. He went to prison. Michael Vick speaks now about dogfighting. He does everything good. Michael Vick was even invited to Chiefs camp as an intern coach. I do believe you don't kick people to the curb. You give them that other opportunity to show they made a mistake, make them good people in society. And you know what? It does happen. Now, it goes the other way as well, and that's when you wash your hands clean. But when they make one mistake, you give them that opportunity to fix it. So I would be 100% on board with the Kansas City Chiefs bringing Kareem Hunt back. Now, he's going to be on the commissioner's exempt list and probably have to sit out 11 games. But I do believe, because I'm just putting myself in his shoes, not the whole incident in the hallway, but sitting out and watching the Chiefs go to the AFC title game, thinking you screwed up and you could have been on a Super Bowl team because the Chiefs were right there with Dee Ford not lining up offsides, being in the Super Bowl. That would be enough for me to look in the mirror and say, damn it, Jay, you just passed up being on a team that could be going to the Super Bowl. You could be getting the Super Bowl ring. Now, whether the Chiefs would have given one or not because he was on the team. Baseball gives you a ring if you were on the roster for one day. The NFL can make decisions when it comes to that. But I would be for it. And I know a lot of people aren't, but it looks like the majority are. 30% or not. By our poll, it's over 6,100 people voted in this. Would take Kareem Hunt back. Now, I don't put a lot of stock in the Twitter polls because I think a lot of people jack around on it and just put anything they want on it because it's, you know, anonymous poll. You can vote however you want to do it. So I'm not sure that they completely, you know, do it by thinking things through. But me personally, I voted yes because I put some thought into it. Would I take Kareem Hunt back? I absolutely would because I do not believe in giving up on individuals. And that includes Kareem Hunt. And I know he had the incident at the bar. I totally washed that away because a lot of people have been in those situations. you're the popular guy and someone wants to fight you, or you're the big guy and some small guy wants to fight you. It does happen, man. It does happen. I will say this. No charges were filed on Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. Zero. None. So, yes, I do believe in second chances. Does that make me a bad guy? Maybe in your opinion it does. In my opinion, it doesn't. I believe in giving people second chances because I can't think of many perfect people walking around this face of the earth. Bad things do happen, but you can change. Coming up next, we talk to Arrowhead's pride, Craig Stout, about some of these defensive changes. Why are we getting Matt House as our linebacker coach?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.